about to start. But can I first allow our dear honorable, highly esteemed members of committee just to grab something so that they can balance their breath before they deliberate. I think there's something. Can you allow them first to have some it's not a breakfast, but something for to assist your energy for the day. Thank you very much. Legal office, the officials from the department, the committee staff present. As we meet today, I'm sure we are all fully aware that we are meeting at a time where as a committee we are expected to make a contribution which hopefully will positively impact in the country's economy in a manner that will bring about sustainability on how the country is able to move forward. But most critically, we also seek to assist in terms of improving the quality of lives of our people, in particular in the industry where we work with specific stakeholders, especially the business community, the labor, as well as our communities. In the last meeting that we had as a committee, honorable members requested that they be given time to go through what was supposed to be a finalization of the most important piece of legislation in terms of amendment. And we think that it's quite critical that our dear honorable members have been able to get that sufficient time. In fact, I assume it's beyond the word sufficient. The only one lesson I've learned is that when there is a request, there should be time frames, because something can just disappear if it doesn't have a specific time frame on what has to be done, or it's left at the discretion of the chairperson. So we were actually going to be also seized with that responsibility today. as well as on what's supposed to be done with regards to the budget review process. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members and the guests. I've got apology from Advocate Schmidt. He might join us later. And Mr. Estezen and Ms. Mafolo. Thank you, sir.
Okay. We are supposedly today going to be dealing with the what we have decided to do, because some of the areas are issues that relate to the reports. Was that we first have to deal with the report on the MPRDA and the minutes, therefore, that relates to that. So we are first going to deal with the minutes, so that the minutes will assist to inform whether what is contained in the proposed amendments is consistent with what we have in the minutes, and then we'll deal with the report on the BRRR process, which will also be informed by being preceded by the minutes, and then lastly we'll deal with the announcement. That is what we have for today. Without further ado, can we deal with the minutes of the, I would suggest that we deal with the minutes of the 24th as well as the minutes of the 7th of September, 24th August and the 7th of September simultaneously, because they talk to the same issues that we have undertaken as a committee. Is that agreed? Okay. sorry. Can we go on page 1? On the minutes were on the 24th, page 1. Page 2. Sounds good. Paragraph 3 from the bottom, when it says one member, should just say either Honorable or Mr. Lorima. The way it's written, it says one member. In brackets, the DA stated that the president is correct. It should just be a standalone. It's either Honorable Lorima or Mr. Lorima, which I prefer. We must use the word honorable instead of, because now it's like it's one member. All of us say when you speak, you are one. You don't speak as a collective, except if it's a stated view. yes, also even that another member, which is a paragraph sentence below. You know these things of yours, Honorable Mandel, of having a prefix before your name. One day we will have Honorable Advocate Inkosi Mr. Mandela. You see, because I see here now, it's no longer Honorable Schmidt, we have got Advocate. You see. So, can we then on what done with page 20 matter on page 2 in terms of corrections and whatever. Let's just assume, boss, this a member, whatever, let's just take out this, if we are using names. On page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Oh, I wanted to check whether you are awake. On the minutes of the 7th September, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, okay, those are the sets of minutes. Can we get a mover? Honorable Mande.
Thanks, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes dated the 24th of August 2016, as well as the 7th of September 2016. Thank you.
Any seconder? Honorable Nyambi.
Chairperson, I second the move.
Okay. Can you please wait, because we are disturbing us in the meeting, so that we finish, so that we are sure that all honorable members have got the required information, please. Can we, is there a seconder? Comrade Nyambi, you are seconding?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm seconding.
Okay. Now, on the minutes of the 24th, the only matter is the matter that relates to the amendments on the MPRDA that were proposed. Is there any matter? But I will also suggest that the substantial part of the minutes of the 7th is in relation to the BRRR process. But the reason to put them for the adoption of the committee is because they also talk to a matter that relates to the MPRDA, which is specifically the request that was made in relation to the time factor period. Is there any other matter that arises out of this process? Honorable Lawrence?
Just to clarify, Mr. Chair, you're talking about the process of reconsidering the committee's report on the bill.
Well, we have never considered it before. So I won't say reconsider. It's what the committee should have done, and it was agreed that when the request was made for time, it's what now we are doing, which we were supposed to do then on the 7th. Yes.
I don't have any comments, Mr. Chair, on the content of our discussion before. I think our views we made well known. However, I'm curious as to the implications of what we're doing here. The President has sent back a bill and he's given four reasons for doing so. And we're effectively saying to him, you got it 50% right. Two out of four. Because two of your objections are not correct. So, Mr. Chair, I'd be interested to know whether you as committee chair and perhaps even the parliamentary law advisor has had discussions in this regard with the presidency and whether he has indicated he's going to invoke section 79(4)(b) and send the bill to the Constitutional Court.
Let me help you, Honourable. I don't want tomorrow to be accused again of conflating the executive with the legislature, because we're going to be accused tomorrow when we go to the president and ask, are you comfortable with what the committee was doing, or any of the executive? And I don't think the president has said in his opinion he is right. He never said so. He said the committee, parliament, must reconsider whether and raise. That's why it's called reservations, not views, reservations. So if we were to do that, it would mean when the department come and present here, we must ask them before we take a decision, are you happy that we've taken 50% of what we say? What we have said is that when we read the reservations of the president, is what we would call parliament must do, quality assurance. And I don't think also we should create this impression that if the matter goes to the Constitutional Court, we said the final arbiter of what is constitutional and not constitutional can't be the legislature nor the executive. That is a responsibility that lies squarely to the judiciary to make a determination. So all what we could express is an opinion on what we think is correct to be done. But let's leave that, because we've had that debate in the previous meeting. We're dealing now with what was factored in as amendments. It is true that as we table the report, we may then come to a conclusion that there is no consensus in the committee. And I must say this thing up front, I don't think we should even be afraid to say so. Where there is a move for the adoption of the report and the proposed amendment, we will note also where there are objections that are being made by others. Parties, on the basis of what they do as a motivation, will then state their reasons when they are given, when the opportunity is presented in the National Assembly, to make their reasons why they are objecting on what is being presented. Surely that objection can't be based on the basis, can't be based on what the... Otherwise, if that is the case, we'll have the lengthiest of debates here. That says, how many times have people objected to what the president has done? This one has got nothing to do with the president. It has got more to do with the legislation. And this is what the committee, and the question would be, in all the legal advices that we have been given, which we are supposed and entitled to,
and with our own substantive arguments that we've made, what is it that could provide a justification to say clearly, legally, we are wrong? I doubt, to accept Honorable Schmidt, who is an advocate, but can only make that argument as even himself as an opinion. So I don't think there is a big issue, but I don't want this thing, because I must be honest and I want to be upfront. This notion that is being created, that when a committee debates and engages on a matter, it's now being seen as giving a rejection of what the president has done, it's not correct. This has got nothing to do with the president. The president says parliament must look thoroughly whether it is satisfied and believes that it is correct in the manner that, and he identifies those four issues. So I'm not going to sit here and say we're objecting or we're taking 50% or whatever. We're doing our work as a committee of parliament, which is what parliament has asked us. That's what the speaker referred to us. Please look on this matter. Relook on this issue. And we have done all that is at our disposal. And up until this stage, the issue we can agree, even up front, is that not on the opinion of the president, but on the substantive argument that members from different political parties who are represented in the committee have drawn, so that I don't draw it to conclusion that says when Honorable Lorima or Schmidt, I would take that is a view of the Democratic Alliance, and they are entitled to it. But the risk we can do is to say the Democratic Alliance agrees with the president, and what they are arguing here is something that is in agreement with the president, and therefore there is a developed love relationship between now the Democratic Alliance. Now, I don't think that's what you say. So let's take the president out and deal with the matter that is referred to us as a committee, and then put our views, regardless who expresses that view. That's the duty of parliament. Even if it's put by any other person, except, and let me say this, except if it's a judicial matter, then unfortunately I think we all accept that the final arbiter in that case is going to be the judiciary. There's nothing we can do. So relax, Honorable Lorima. By the way, I dare say this, in the organization where I come from, I've got a right to disagree with anyone. That one is allowed by opinion, not by association, by opinion. So if anyone disagrees with me, even here, members of the African National Congress, they are allowed to disagree with me as a chair. They can't sit here and agree on everything that I'm saying because, no, this one is from... No, everyone has got a right to have a difference of opinion. So we are, by the way, entitled to have a difference of opinion, even with the Speaker of Parliament or with anyone. So the views to me that have been expressed here, I don't take them as views that are coming from a matter of being associated with or not being associated with anybody else. But the point we wanted to make, Honorable Members, was that first we allow to read the reports, which is just one page, by the way, and then we look on what committee is supposed to do those proposed amendments, because in the report, those amendments are just placed in as sections without dealing substantively. I think that's what we're supposed to do. And then the you see, there's, I always forget the name. It's not parliamentary to call someone by name. Yes. Ms. Swartz, sorry. You see, you are popular with your name, not with the surname. Okay. Can we... The secretary said... The secretary, I said, must read the report, and she seems to be highly affected in terms of press, so we'll have to save it. She can't read the report. But also, that's another issue, Honorable Members, and I must say this, we were going to sit and try and listen and wait for you to tell us when we must bring this. We have got the potential of probably Ms. Swart was seeing her for the last time. Yeah, you don't speak behind somebody's back. I hope she won't say her goodbyes after taking us through this. So as Ms. Boss, who's taking a bit of a longer break in order to add on the population of this country. So if we're 58 million, probably by February we will be 58 million plus one. So, or two, we don't know. We don't know. So it would have then meant that the work of the committee was going to be difficult. I should have done that. The work of the committee would have been more difficult because we were going to get completely new people. We're going to be introduced on the work that the committee has done, start afresh, brief them, both in terms of the legal advices that has been given to us, but also the work of the committee. It is on that note also that I should have introduced here. I always forget the surname of it. Yes. Mr. I will say Siabonga, you see, this thing, he was introduced to me as Sia. Now, at home, we've got a Siabonga. Now, the name is Siamamkela Mtonji. He is going to be a stand-in committee secretary, whilst Ms. Boss is taking the detour. It's a short left. Maybe it's going to bring someone to save the world. So Mr. Mtonjen is going to be the one who's standing in the meantime. We will ask first, as we will present the report, Ms. Swart, to take us through what was proposed as the amendment. And then the report is nothing much, honorable members, but a reflection of what ensued in terms of the discussions and the areas of agreement, whether by consensus or by the by majority. That's another issue that we'll deal with. So, Ms. Swart, can you take us through?
Thank you, Chair. Morning, members. Morning, guests. In presenting the amendment is basically what came from the comments of the National Office of Traditional Leaders that the committee decided to incorporate. Now, these amendments are contained in two documents which are before the members. The one is a two-page document. It is called, at the bottom, it's got the number B15C. That is your CBIL. Your CBIL contains your list of amendments that the committee agreed to. And then the amendment, as it is there, is then incorporated into the amendment bill, which is your 48-page document, which is at the bottom. It's B15D, that's your D-bill.
It's this one.
Just two-page. Thank you, Chief. So your D bill is basically the bill that where the amendments that the committee proposed is already incorporated into the amendment bill. This is also the bill that's going to be sent to the NCOP. What I'm going to be doing, I'm going to read from the A, from the C, well, the two-page document. That's the list of amendments. And then on the screen, I'm going to show how it looks now incorporated into the bill. I've highlighted it on the screen because we can't highlight it in that document. But on the screen, I'll highlight so it's easy for members to find. So we're going to go to page 2 of the two-page document. It is amendments agreed to by the Mineral Portfolio, Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Bill. This is the amendments of the committee. The first amendment that was proposed was to clause 1, and this amendment is on page 3 of the D bill. That amendment reads as follows: on page 3, in line 38, after A, to insert metropolitan, municipality, or A. So this is how it now looks in the D bill. So the new definition of community is going to read as follows: community means a coherent social group of persons within a metropolitan municipality or a district municipality as defined in the Local Government Municipal Structures Act 1998, Act Number 117 of 1998, with interest or rights in a particular area of land which the members have or exercise communally in terms of agreement, custom, or law. So that's the new amendment that's made to the definition of community. Then the second amendment was to clause 6, and it reads as follows: on page 8, in line 24, after parties, to insert community. Now on page 8, the amendment will look as follows. So basically what we've done here, we've just added community here, and I've highlighted it on the screen where the various amendments or additions were added. So the new provision will read as follows. The heading, we've added communities, consultation with interested and affected parties as well as and communities. 10.1, within the prescribed period after accepting an application, lodged in terms of section 16, 22, or 27, the regional manager and applicant must in the prescribed manner A, make known that the application for the prospecting mining right, or mining permit has been accepted in respect of the land in question, and B, call upon interested and affected persons and communities to submit their comments and objections regarding the application to the regional manager within the prescribed period. Then two, if a person or community objects to the granting of a prospecting right, or mining permit, the regional manager A must refer the objection to the Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee to consider the objection and to advise the minister thereon. And B may refer the objection and comments to the applicant to consult with the person or community objecting and submit the result of the consultation within the prescribed period. And then number three, should the consultation contemplated in subsection 2 be resolved in an agreement, such agreement must be reduced to writing and forwarded to the regional mining manager for noting and onward transmission to the Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee. So the amendment to clause 6, basically the new clause will read as highlighted there on the screen. Then the next amendment is to clause 11, which is on page 11. Here, it's an amendment to section 16 of the Act, to subsection 4B. There we've added community. So the new amendment will read, to consult in the prescribed manner with the landowner, lawful occupier, and affected party and community to include the result of the consultation in the relevant environmental reports. So this is also giving effect to the instruction that communities must be added. Then the second last amendment was to clause 18, and this is on page 15 of the D-bill. There the request was to change may to must, and the new amendment reads as follows: if the application relates to the land occupied by a community, the minister must impose such conditions as are necessary to promote the rights and interests of the community. This was also a request that came from the National Traditional Leader. Then the last amendment is to Clause 38, which is on page 25. There we've also added community. The new amendment will now read, no person may, for the purpose of an investigation contemplated in subsection 1, enter upon the land unless the owner, occupier, or person in control of such land or community has been consulted and notified in writing of the intention to enter and to conduct the investigation. So that's basically all the amendments that was proposed by the committee. Committee now has to say whether it agrees or not agrees with all the amendments. Thank you, Chief.
Members, there is the proposed amendment as per the previous discussions and engagements. Honorable beginning.
Thank you very much. I wish really to concur with these amendments. Part of our discussions, the side we have later on. Thank you very much. I wish to move to accept this.
Any seconder? Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. Listen, Honorable Chair, I must listen. I second the motion to adopt the amendments as read by the legal advisor, Honorable Swart.
I don't know, Ms. Swart, whether where you are going is this a sign that Honorable Mandela knows where you are going? Any objections? Honorable Lorima? Okay. Objection noted. Yes. I did give you that guarantee. Oh, Honorable Loren? Any objection?
Nothing else to say, Mr. Chair.
As long as you note my objection, I think you've heard everything that I believe.
Now can we go to the report? Let me also say from the outset, we might have a little bit of time extended as we deal with the report, because if, just listen to this, if there is an objection, it will have to be recorded. And I'm sure then the adoption, except if you put all the confidence in me, rest assured, I will appreciate that one. But we will have to also adopt something that has got an objection on it. The report is as follows from, it's a committee report, draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources on the President's reservation on the Mineral and Petroleum Development Amendment Bill, which is the Bill of 2013. The Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Bill, B15B 2013, that is National Assembly, in terms of Section 76, was referred to the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources in terms of John Rules 203 on January 16, 2015, due to the President's reservation as outlined below. A, the definition of this Act, which is in inverted commas, is unlikely, unconstitutional in that the amended definition elevates the codes of good practice for the South African minerals industry, the housing and living condition standards for the minerals industry, and the amended broad-based socio-economic empowerment charter for South African mining and minerals industry to the status of national legislation. In addition, in terms of the Section 74 of the amended Act, the Minister is given the power to amend or repeal these instruments as and when the need arises, effectively bypassing the constitutionally mandated procedures for the amendment of legislation. B, as amended, sections 26, subsection 2B, and section 26, subsection 3 appear to be inconsistent with South Africa's obligation under the General Agreement and Trade and Tariffs, that is the GATT, and the Trade, Development and Cooperation Agreement, TDCIA, insofar as they appear to impose quantitative restriction on exports in contravention of GATT and TDCA, and in so doing render the state vulnerable to challenges in international fora. C, the President is of the view that the NCOP and the provincial legislature did not sufficiently facilitate public participation when passing the Amendment Act as required by Section 72 and 118 of the Constitution, in that the consultation period was highly compressed and there appears to have been insufficient notice of the public hearings held by the provincial legislatures. The President is of the view that the bill should have been, that is D, should have been referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders for its comment in terms of Section 18 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, in that the bill impacts upon customary law or the customs of traditional communities by, one, allowing persons to enter upon land to conduct an investigation after notifying and consulting with the owner, occupier, or person in control in terms of Section 50, and in so doing ignores the consent principle in customary law. Two, amending the definition of community in Section 1 of the Amendment Act. The Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, having considered the President's reservation, its report is as follows. The power given to the Minister, that is A, the power given to the Minister amends codes, standards, and charter, does not bypass constitutional mandated legislation procedures. The definition of this Act reads with clause 74 will pass the constitutional muster, or read. The ratification of the GATT and the TDCA does not create constitutional rights or obligations on the amendments to the sections 26 subsection 2B and 26 subsection 3 will pass constitutional muster. In terms of joint rules, rule 2B(i), the committee conferred with the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources. The committee agrees that the consultation period in the NCOP and in the provincial legislatures was highly compressed and recommends that the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources remedy this procedural defect by starting their legislative processes anew. D, the committee referred the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders on 1st March 2016 and they've submitted the comments which were considered by the committee on the 17th of May 2017. In terms of the amendment to the bill, the amendments are as follows. Clause 1 on page 3, in line with the section 38 after A, to insert metropolitan municipality or A, which is what we talked about, the district. On page 8, in line with 24, after parties to insert and communities. On page 8, in line with 31, after persons to insert communities. On page 8, in line with 34, after person to insert or community. On page 8, in line with 40, in line 40, after person to insert or community. Then clause 8, clause 11. On page 11, in line 52, to omit and, which is to omit any interested and an affected party, and to substitute and an interested and with an affected party and community. Clause 18, on page 15, in line 36, to omit may and be substituted with must. Clause 38, on page 25, from line 38, to omit or person in control of such land and to substitute person in control of such land or community. Therefore, as a committee, is a report to an amended bill, which therefore is reported for recommendation by the committee. That's the report.
Honorable
Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. I don't find anything wrong per se, Honorable Chair, with the report, except that I do not think that the Honorable Chair has any ability to see into the future. Therefore, that sentence on D that says the committee referred the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders on the 1st of March 2016 and they submitted comments which were considered by the committee on the 17th of May 2017 should be amended as 2016, Honorable Chair.
No, noted. It's what is called for, I think.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
It doesn't reflect that we want to amend this bill in 2017.
Thank you, Chair. That considered, then I would move for the adoption of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Any seconder? Honorable Nyambi?
Chairperson, I will move for. I will second for the adoption of this report. Thank you.
Any
objections? In the absence of an objection, can you agree that we will correct the errors that were made, particularly on the date? that we are corrected on. On that note, having done with that, can I congratulate you by giving a 10-minute stretch break? Let me re-welcome you again on the reconvening of the committee. We will now be dealing with the Beautiful Art process. First, we'll deal with the minutes again so that they will assist us in terms of the dealing with the reports and the Beautiful Art processes as far as particularly the recommendations. I must say, as I said initially, the minutes, though they start on the 11th and 12th October, when we deal with the content and the report itself, we will be allowed to make reference to the minutes of the 7th by implication purposes. So can we go to the minutes of the 11th? Page 1, page 2, page 3, I know why there's a confusion about your presence. You were there at the start of the meeting. You must say so. And we can't say you were not. No, you were there at the start of the meeting. And also, this is where boss will have to deal with this thing now. I can see the complication. Whether we state reasons, because I remember there was an apology also, because he was attending the, what is it, economic development, but he was here at the start of the meeting and then left for the meeting on economic development. That's why I'm saying you are supposed to appear in either of, in both of the two. That's why I'm saying it now raises the question, can you have someone present but also apology if there is no reason stated? But it's okay. Honorable Piginini prefers to be on the present, not on the apology. Page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5. Page 7. Can we go to the minutes of the 12th? Page 1. Page 2. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Is there any mover of the minutes? Honorable Nyambi?
Chairperson, I move the minutes, both the minutes of 11th and 12th, as a true reflection. Thank you, Chair. With the corrections of Honorable Beginning that was present. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Second, the minutes of the 11th October 2016 and the 12th October. No, not the one of the 11th October, Chair, because I was not here. The one for the 12th October 2016. But the 12th October 2016, Chair, it must be rectified. It was not 2015, it's 2016. Up there is written 12th October 2015. So I'll second this one with the amendment of the dates, Chair, the year 2015 to 2016. Thank you very much.
You had seconded the, when we were asking, no one made the corrections on 2015 to 2016. But it's okay. Any seconder for the, except myself, for the 11th? October 2016. No. I'm a member of this committee. I can still move. Yeah, I'm entitled.
Honorable Mpini.
Thank you very much, Chair. I wish to second, Chair, that they are a true reflection of what we discussed in those minutes. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Mandel.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps on the issue of clarity, Chair, maybe can be dealt with on matters arising. On page 7, bullet point number 5, a question was asked on how much president of MinTech, Ubam Gomez, and that made him eligible to benefit from study funding. And I don't see that under responses. And on this matter, I would like it to be noted, Honorable Chair, who President CEO Ubam Gomez earns 2.8 million and yet is a beneficiary of study bursary program at MinTech, and the deputy to that, Uma Munya, earns 1.6 million and is also a beneficiary to the study program. I specifically highlighted this, Honorable Chair, because I would like the committee to raise this matter up with the department. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any other matter? Honorable Matlan?
Yes, Honorable Chair, on the minutes of the 12th October 2015, because I was there anyway, the the question was raised by the committee in relation to the communication strategy of the entities that falls under the DMR. The issue was raised sharply, and the agreement was that yes, they will in future, of course, communicate to our communities through the billboards, because as we're driving around the country, we haven't seen any of the entities communicating to our people through those billboards, because as you see all of them in the country, there is only the advertisement of these washing dishes things, and you'll see the opposition, in particular the leader of the opposition, the Honorable Maimane, smiling all over. And the agreement with these entities was that in the near future, of course, they will do that. It's unfortunate it's not captured yet, because it's a very serious matter that we have communicated to the entities, and the DG of the department, of course, agreed that he will make sure that he will monitor all the activities of the entities, not only the boards, but all the activities that they are entitled to do. So I would like, Chair, the committee to capture some of the issues that were raised in that previous meeting. Thank you very much.
I'm sure I'll ask Honorable Lorima to arrange some tea session between Honorable Maimane and Honorable Matlala, because it seems Honorable Matlala is highly traumatized by the smile
of Honorable Maimane on the billboard. So you will help Honorable Lorima facilitate that arrangement. But as a committee, anyone is entitled to smile and is entitled to be in a billboard, unfortunately, in the committee. But also as a democratic state, we can't curtail people from whatever they feel that it is necessary. I'm not sure, though, I still have to drive through those areas and see whether that's the only smiling face that we have. But as I said, Honorable Lorima has got a duty, task, and a responsibility to make Honorable Matlala realize the smile much more closer in proximity, not when he's going past. Otherwise, we're going to have more accidents because of him looking at the billboards, whose face is there. Honorable Matlala, on page 5, bullet point 1, 2, 3, I understand what you say. That issue, that question does arise, but I take note of the fact that you say in the responses, again, that matter does not reflect. But I thought there was a response with regards to the billboards, which amongst other issues was the, I think also Mintek had a similar response. I'm still going to try and check whether, I thought there was a response with regards to that issue, particularly around cost implications of the exercise, if it is undertaken. So it is there. But also, I think, Honorable Members, let's also agree that some of these issues, obviously, when we deal with the report, particularly the recommendations, we will be able to deal and highlight some of the issues raised. But having the minutes adopted with the specific recommendations, can we then go to the report? I hope now the report. I think the first thing, let me say this, Honorable Members, and I'm saying this without prejudice, and I think it's a duty for all of us as people mandated and tasked to come and work here. This process, I guess this thing tends to be so highly congested and in terms of breathing space and doing work, it does have an element of being highly exploitative because preparing a report, which under normal circumstances we are supposed all of us to sit here do it, but to just prepare and help in facilitation of the report, you go do this, then come back, it's not there, you must put it again. It doesn't give adequate time in terms of ensuring that there is thorough work that is done. And I think it's an issue that down the line we will have to find the best mechanism. We know, for an example, that next year around the same period we'll be going through this process. I'm just saying it's an issue that in terms of time absorption, it makes it so laborious to deal with the issues and try to accommodate. You can imagine this side, you must make sure that the minutes are 100% in line, then the report must also be there for consumption purposes. But so I think some of us will try our level best to motivate that the period must be a little bit open up apply levels of flexibility and so forth. But also with the nature of personnel that is required, it, it does have those implications. I'm not sure, honorable members, let me say this again in relation to how do we handle the report. I can read this report from page 1 up to page 23, if honorable members want me to do so. But ordinarily, we used to focus mainly on the recommendations. And as we focus on the recommendations, the best that we could do, we usually do, is also to look on the observations. But I'm at the mercy of honorable members, whether we start on the observations in relation to, or we go according to the recommendations instead of the observations, we leave them. But also linked to this, you would see we have been trying to do our level best. We tried also our level that we lift some of the issues that emerged out of the previous BRRR process to be matters of further recommendation, so that they don't disappear in the process. So we had to lift them and re-emphasize, put them as a re-emphasis, so that they are always at the face of the committee's work that is done. We also looked at in those areas, look at also putting in time frames that we think some of these issues must be able to take place. So I'm at your mercy now, whether we deal with the observation straight with the observations and recommendations, or we deal with the recommendation. That's point one. Point two, whether we read those recommendations, or if we oppose the recommendations and observations, or we just go page by page with the high caliber of leadership appointed to serve in this committee, that it doesn't need someone to assist in terms of reading for them. Let me hear from you first. What is the proposed mechanism? Honorable Lauren?
Mr. Chair, it's my belief that members of the committee will have had a look at the report themselves, and that the important thing for us to do is to go through the recommendations.
Okay. Is the suggestion that we go straight to the recommendations? Honorable Mande?
Thank you, Chair. To support and second the notion raised by Honorable Lorimer that we go through the recommendations, Honorable Chair, because we have all read the report and put to get to discuss the recommendations. So I second the motion. Thank you.
Can it be recorded in the annals of history in this Parliament that only the chairperson of mineral resources can make representatives of the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance agree, support, and second one another? Victory to democracy. Don't get worried, Honorable Mokoena, as if you are now being taken out of the equation.
I just noticed that it's the ASC that was the problem.
So it must be recorded that if only the chairperson of mineral resources can make the two agree. Okay, that is the issue. Do we have to read the? Okay, I can deal with the recommendations and explain. Recommendation number one is that we should re-motivate with the National Treasury for the budget allocation to the Council for Geoscience to be increased, so that the Council can fulfill the mandate given to it by legislation. and we set the deadline, the time frame, not deadline. Doesn't mean we'll start tomorrow. It actually means when we table, we will all take that responsibility and we say, at least that task must be done by the 30th of December. We then say the report, we must report on the achievement of the task team on illegal mining. Illegal, with that illegal mining is not just about gold, it also involves a number of those mentioned commodities, and all of them which can have severe environmental consequences and therefore require more attention from DMR inspectors. We've stated the time frame. Then there is an issue of the strategies to deal with unintended consequences of the one environmental system for mining, particularly for new entrants to the mining sector, might be discouraged from making application for rights to the minerals because of the very high fees for environmental report that are required by NEMA and other compliant legislation. And then the issue of continuous update on the Lily Mine disaster in terms of your short-term, medium, and long-term plans, trying to find a solution on the matter, which I think we also, it's a continuous process. Then the issue of standardization in terms of deals in dealing with community structures, in terms of a government framework on guidelines on its entities with special reference to the relationship between the board and the executive management, a roadmap and timetable in illustration of the plan in achieving the legislative goals as contained in the strategic plan of the department by 2019. And that's the deadline. It sounds too generous, but 2017, June. Then shared treasury to come up with the funding framework that encourages the department and its entities to perform optimally in their financial stewardship, because continued trimming of the budget for a well-managed state organ punishes rather than rewards prudent financial management. I'm sure honorable members will remember what we're talking about, and we said this is one of those cut-across issues. That we said that we should include the following issues. The department should include the following issues in terms of its annual plan, which will be in terms of the budgetary provision in consultation with National Treasury. One, the development of an annual report for the new Environmental Mineral Resource Inspectorate, an appropriate performance measure that reflects on the role of the South African, that is SAMRAD. The finalization and the implementation of the Women in Mining Strategy, then a policy development on the two critical issues, that is mine closure for coordination purposes, and therefore we looked on the need for better legislation and intergovernmental cooperation in dealing with the mine closure of mines. And DMR to research sustainable mine closure that considers both the environment and community issues. Closed mines, we encourage illegal miners. The gaps between companies, minerals, insolvency, and environmental laws, in fact, might be encouraging fraud and asset stripping. I think that's the issue. Closure is part of a life cycle of mines. I think that's the point. Then we said the second issue is the issue of ex-mine workers that needs a better coordination through intergovernmental actions and in developing a comprehensive strategy on ex-mine workers. That's the issue. This mainly is about the harmonization of the compensation laws, which seems to be, some of them seem to be biased against mine workers. Then there's an issue of you know, which what we said we welcome as a good innovation, the one-stop shop, ne, service center, and therefore the ones in Beckersford and Kuruman require speeding up. We should have said, we're not sure, it's a reported 5 billion, which is said is unclaimed, so we can't say we know in terms of the retirement fund, where we say retirement fund managers and regulators need to act to pay on the reported 5 million in unclaimed benefits to the beneficiaries in the mining sector. We have never had that report for now, which confirms that is in existence. Then we have got 9.1, which is a re-emphasis of the 2015 the budget recommendations of the previous year. It's about a need by the department in developing a comprehensive report on the outcomes of the mining charter, which includes the names and of companies who have not complied. And we said now we're giving you a lifeline, Bob Mabuse, 30 June. I suspect there might be something that is 30 June that is to do with the department. That's a repetition again on number two, which is on Samrat. We've got March 30, filling of critical post, including cost-saving interview processes, 30 March, coordination in ensuring that there is a better coordination between activities of respective provincial and local government, as well as the DMR, which is that integrated process we talked about, 30 June. You'll find that those things were there in the previous, if you look on the previous PRRR recommendations that we made. Women in mining, we've talked about it. Multilateral forums. I'm sure Mr. Mabuse will remember, one of the issues we're dealing with was that we need to be sure that as we continue to do multilateral works, particularly offshore, it must be something that it adds value in terms of its cost implications. I think we have made that example that there are areas where you find that the relationship is skewed. The resources that are being utilized in undertaking some of these responsibilities, they are not worth, they don't make business sense, if one were to say, because liability seems to be far above and skewed not in favor of the ourselves as we are unit. I think we have dealt with the issue again, that issue of categorization and looking at management structures and the effectiveness of what we do is there. Then the issue that then we have said, we looked at the summary of recommendation which have financial implications. It is said that the Treasury must attend to the adequate resources of the Council for Geoscience to allow the DMR to have the geological knowledge to its function as the custodian of the mineral wealth of the nation, and that the DMR must incorporate the budgetary requirement to produce proper annual reports on its environmental management of the mining sector, and Treasury to come up with funding frameworks and that encourages the department and its entities to perform optimally, which is an issue that we have raised again as a question. I think there is only one part here that has been my insisting. The part that said, in terms of the nature of the department, there is a need to have a mechanism that controls the access to information and therefore to ensure that mechanisms are in place that deal with the issue of trust and I don't want to say, it's more like the property reservation, including knowledge. We raised that concern because of, I think that's the only one that for me, Babu Bayama, we should hear again. On that note, those are the recommendations. It's not a recommendation, that one. It's just a word of appreciation. But if you want to add, we have extended that appreciation to the department, particularly under the leadership of the minister, the acting DG, as well as the deputy minister. The last time I wanted to appreciate my dear colleague, I was told it's a no-go area. So I've decided that I will leave them, leave the committee, but they said praising this committee may not be a good idea politically. So I've decided never to venture to that terrain again. For the sake of not good relations, but for the sake of the committee continuing performing its task to its maximum. That is what we have, honorable members, in terms of the recommendations. Thank you very much. Any comments on the recommendations?
Honorable
Lorima, Honorable Mukwena. Others are still thinking. Honorable Lorima.
By and large, very good, Mr. Chair. Right at the end of them, 919, where you, department should develop a comprehensive report on the outcomes of the mining charter. This is 919, the first one in the further recommendations. I think that due date, this is 21, bottom of 21. I think that due date of the 30th of June 2017 is perhaps a little overly generous. I'm sure we can have that sooner. And then the following page, 22, the bottom, with a summary of recommendations with financial implications. That first sentence paragraph there is a bit clumsy. I think it's missing a word. If I can suggest, it might read better the second line there. The DMR to have the geological knowledge to fulfill its function as the custodian. So the word fulfill being inserted there.
Oh. On first small paragraph, second part of it, where it says the DMR to have
geological knowledge to fulfill. Put the word fulfill in there.
In between, okay. As a chair, I'm entitled to agree with you. As a chair, okay. Honorable Lorima, don't you think it will assist us, like you have done on further noting, so that we can have an idea? I appreciate your confidence in me, but you can also propose. The 30th, you say, is too far and quite generous. Let's hear what's your ideal situation.
One at the end of March.
Okay. No. Okay. Honorable Mukwena?
Thank you, Chair. You'll forgive me because I was not part of these particular meetings where these recommendations were made. But I know that our position has always been that that there should be timelines on the MPRDA as a document as a whole, and that it should be fast-tracked, that we should stop the delays that we have experienced so far, because it has implications not just on the industry, but also on other departments, Treasury and DTI. So I'm not sure, because I don't see, I know that here in Block 3 on page 19, it makes mention of an element of the MPRDA, and I'm not sure if that's perhaps where it should have lied. But I'll submit myself to your counsel, because I was not part of these meetings.
Okay.
No, no, no. I can't do that. I can only give you clarity. Look, we have just adopted the amendments and the report on the MPRDA. It's now going to the National Assembly. After that, through the National Assembly process, is going to be conferred to the NCOP. So it's a done process now. Before we went to break, for break, we adopted the, we are done now. Get bad. The procedure is, I will review a decision in the same meeting. It's done.
No, I was speaking specifically on this document here.
Oh,
it doesn't speak to that issue. So before we adopt it, that it should be on record that this is what the recommendation was from.
Okay, I think what now I get you. The point you are saying, in as much as it's adopted, it must reflect whether it talks in appreciation of the fact that in whatever, we'll try to find a better wording. That as a committee, for an example, as a committee, we acknowledge and appreciate and see the need of speeding up now the processes of the... No, I see the point. Now, we will have to find a better way. There are many English gurus in this house. But I take the note, can someone help me just draft something so that when we go towards giving the report, we do have a way that captures what Honorable Mukwena says. Who can help us? Dr. Nicole? Dr. Nicole? Can you help us? Now, all what we want is a better wording that acknowledges or that reflects the process that, because I think what Honorable Mukwena says that simultaneously, as we're dealing with the BRRR, there was a process under which that seeks to finalize the process of the MPRDA. Now, he says, you can't then, once you're doing that process, when you deal with your BRRR, it does not talk to the issue of the processes of the MPRDA, even if it talks about, because I think it will also be incorrect of us to say we have finalized it, but as a committee we have done our work, it then needs to go through the normal parliamentary processes. So it's either we say as a committee to acknowledge the progress made so far, which we think is taking us much better towards the finalization of the amendments to the MPRDA. I think that is the better English we would. I'm not sure whether honorable members are comfortable with that.
And also to emphasize the need for
Kulumala.
No, and also to acknowledge the need for a speedy resolution to the MPRDA. Which we acknowledge that, you know, it is subject to the process that will now go forward from now on.
Okay, we will just accommodate by, that's why I was saying that the progress made so far,
yeah,
and therefore as a committee we acknowledge the critical nature of this piece of legislation in terms of creating certainty in the industry. I think that is the context we'll put in. Okay. There's something called in Xhosa, amaqobokazana ngalala endleleni inyembelekile. What it means is that I withdraw. Nkosi Mandela is telling me you can't use Xhosa Stolik, it means you can't interpret Xhosa.
I was gonna interpret it. What does it mean? So unfortunately, Hoshi Matlala and at least Honorable Lorima won't complain because he's equally the same like you. He's a historically disadvantaged person when it comes to this one. Okay. On that note, with the amendments, honorable members, the first amendment is the one that talks to the due date. I don't know why we choose 30 when there are 31 days in March, but it's okay. Can you agree? Honorable Lorima is proposing that it be the 31st of March in terms of the dates. The second one is proposing that it be a ways that of the to fulfill which is below there, to fulfill its function, which is in relation to the DMR. The third issue was the issue of the MPRDA, and then I think the issue was the question of custodianship of information or protection of information and trust related issues, which again we'll talk to that. Is there any other matter besides that, honorable member? I've never finished a meeting at 11:30. I don't know whether, but I must appreciate your generosity. I'm sure you sympathize with the committee secretary. That's why you want to finish your meeting. So. honorable members, on that note, is there any mover of the report? I can see Honorable Lorima is looking at Honorable Mandela, and Honorable Mandela is looking at Honorable Lorima. He's expecting a favor. He seconded you. Honorable Lorima wants you to move so that he can second you and return the favor. You know, where I come from, Honorable Mukwena, I won't mention this person because he's known. When we were sitting in the Central Executive Committee, one man who's very popular these days would raise his hand, and then he got pointed first, and the other one will raise the hand, and then he will say, "Yes, Comrade so-and-so." This one will say, no, I'm waiting for this one to speak so that I can challenge him on what he's going to say. I want to disagree with him. And he says, no, it's simple because I know before he speaks, I'm going to disagree. Now, even if he's right, we'll disagree. Now, I fear that Honorable Mandela might wait for Honorable Lorima and move with an objection. And he is compelled to second because he has made that commitment, he's going to second him. Any mover, Honorable Mandela?
Let me take the opportunity to move for the adoption of the report as outlined, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
And amended.
With amendment.
Okay. Any seconder?
I was not
You went. You are not part of that coalition.
I second the report, Mr. Chair.
Boss, can it be recorded again? Good. I'm sure next time I'm going to be the House Chair so that Honorable Mokwena wants to third the report. Can you see? Mm-hmm. Honorable Mokwena?
I wanted to suggest that we must find a room for the African National Congress.
Yeah, you know, the secretary of the committee said to me, this was the best present, even for Christmas, that can be given when we finalize the MPRDA as a committee. And I'm sure this time around, and I said she must then give him or her and say the name, other name, MPRDA.
Now, I don't know with this secretary.